Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William H. Kennedy, who's a frequent guest here. And, of course, he has written extensively about satanic cults and satanic crimes. He has a wonderful website going into the background of the vast network of satanic and occult organizations all across America. Of course, most people don't even think about this sort of thing. We think about the cultural battle that's going on between the right and the left, the Republicans, the Democrats, the conservative and the liberals. But people don't really understand that this is a spiritual battle. And, of course, these dark and sinister secret societies and spiritual forces have infiltrated every aspect of our society and are directing the course of the world today. And certainly if we talk about, we're going to have a war over there, and certainly with Syria, and when is it coming? But understand that there are spiritual forces which are energizing this whole movement, and you can't understand anything going on today unless you understand that there are prophetic forces at work in the world today, and God does still work in the affairs of men. Well, with that as a background, William Kennedy, thanks so much for being with us. Let's see if we can pull William up there. Hi, William. Thanks very much for being with us.
Can you hear me, Doc?
I certainly can. Go right ahead.
All right. I have a new article out at WilliamHKennedy.com called The Hare Krishna Killings, The Fast Rise and Hard Fall of Cult Leader Keith Ham. And again, people can read this for free at WilliamHKennedy.com. And this is a biography of who I feel is the most evil cult leader ever to live. Yeah, I think Keith Ham was even worse than Jim Jones, in my estimation.
All right, well, now most people don't even know who he is, so why don't you give us a quick overview? Who is this man, and why is he so important?
Keith Ham was the first person to join the Hare Krishna movement as a full-time devotee. The Hare Krishna movement was founded in 1966 by a Hindu immigrant named Swami Prabhupada, and he just hit it very big in the hippie subculture in New York. And this fellow Keith Ham, whose father was a Baptist minister, joined up with the Hare Krishnas. He was the first disciple to move in with Prabhupada, and as it turns out, he kind of took control of one segment of the organization, and he was a serial child molester. He liked to rape young boys. And he started his own community, a Hare Krishna city in West Virginia called New Vrindavan, and he was kind of a dictator or a king there. It's quite amazing. And he had about 800 followers down there at its peak, and they built this giant palace of gold for Prabhupada, which is quite a beautiful building. But what Keith Ham was doing is he was sexually abusing the Hare Krishna children who were born into the sect. And, he was really a cult leader of the classic kind, in that he controlled the thoughts and actions of his followers. He used
David Koresh, James Jones, and the whole flock of those. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Similar tactics.
We're going to be back in just a moment with William Kennedy, and this is a sect most people haven't heard of, but just as dangerous. We'll be right back. Okay, go right ahead, William.
Well, Dr. Stan, Keith Ham became very powerful in the Hare Krishna organization.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's propax.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Serial child molester, but he had a loyal following among the members of this cult, somewhere between 500 and 800 members. But basically, of course, there's there was a lot of opposition from the people in the local area to this cult, and so he recruited a man named Tom Dressler. And Tom had been trained as a professional assassin by our military. He worked in Vietnam, sneaking into the North Vietnam and killing the leaders there. Krista, we train killers. We train people to kill. That's what the military is about. It's about killing people and destroying things. That's how you win wars. They're not nice. But Tom Dressler then certainly was a psychopath. And he was discharged from the military, but he was still a psychopathic killer when he was released. So, of course, he needed to go someplace, didn't have any family. So he joined the Hare Krishna movement. And then, of course, when Keith Ham told him to eliminate a couple of the members of this cult who were talking about the fact that Keith Ham, who led the Hare Krishna movement, was a child molester, Tom Dressler, of course, was assigned the job of killing these two members of the sect. So you pick the story up there.
Well, right. Tom Dreschler, the first person he killed was Chuck St. Dennis, who was actually selling and supplying illegal drugs to raise funds for the Hare Krishnas. But when he found out that Ham was a child molester, he wanted to disassociate himself, because if he ever got arrested, to go to prison as a child molester and a drug dealer would be like a death sentence. So he began to expose him, and Keith Ham found out about it, and he sent Drescher and another guy. He kind of persuaded this other guy that Chuck St. Dennis was having an affair with his wife, and got this unstable guy in Tom Drescher to go down and murder him. Now, they stabbed this guy, and while he was still alive, they took him to a stream bed where they had built a dam. They had a grave ready for him, and they stabbed him a few more times, and they chanted Hare Krishna as they killed this man. And the last thing they did to him is they buried him alive. He was still breathing and screaming, you know, don't smother me, as they dumped the mud on him and allowed the stream to cover his body where he asphyxiated. Now, a few years later, Steve, this is all in the 1980s, by the way, Steve Bryant, who was a disgruntled member who was trying to get his kids out of the cult, started a newsletter about Keith Ham called Jonestown and Moundsville, which is the area of West Virginia that New Verdavin sits, and Keith Ham is like king there.
And, of course, those people don't remember Jim Jones, Chris. He was the fellow who actually had led this cult that had moved down to in the northern part of South America and had all of his followers drink the Kool-Aid. So go ahead.
Right. They all poisoned themselves. But in many ways, he was more compassionate by at least killing his followers than what Keith Ham did to his followers, because it gets even worse than when he had, he sent Drescher out to California. He gave him $8,000 and he put two bullets into Steve Bryant's head. So the two main detractors against him were murdered. Now, what happened is a few years later, the fellow who helped Drescher kill Chuck St. Dennis had a change of heart and went to the police and turned himself in and turned Drescher in. Now, what happened is Drescher protected Keith Ham and said he knew nothing about these murders, that he had acted on his own, that he was fully responsible, that Keith Ham never told him to go kill anyone. He was lying to protect Keith Ham because he was more or less brainwashed. Now, what happened is they got Keith Ham up on some charges under the RICO Act, but he gave Alan Dershowitz, the famous Harvard lawyer, $2.5 million to defend him, and he overturned his conviction for racketeering. Now, he was retried on other charges after Alan Dershowitz got him off, and he was offered a plea bargain that if he did 4 to 6 years, then they wouldn't sue the Hare Krishna community in New Verdavin. They wouldn't punish the whole sect, and Keith Ham refused. And what happened when Drescher heard about this, he started looking into what Keith Ham was doing, and finally he discovered through investigation and writing letters that he had killed Steve Bryant and Chuck St. Dennis because they knew that Keith Ham was a child molester. Tom Drescher never knew that Keith Ham was a child molester when he killed those two men. And Tom Drescher deeply regrets what he did, and he testified against Keith Ham. Now, Keith Ham wound up plea bargaining, and he got a 20-year sentence for a mail fraud. And he was in jail. He was in jail for, I believe, 4 to 6 years. I'm not sure which six, I believe. He was in jail for 6 years, and he was in such poor health that the judge let him out. Now, when Keith Ham first went to jail, he was put in solitary confinement for making sexual advances towards his cellmate. So this guy was just a pervert. Now, he got out of jail. He wasn't allowed to go back to New Verdavin. And he went to New York City for a while. He still had a lot of money that he kept for himself. And he was very ill and in a wheelchair. And finally, the followers in New York found out he was a child molester. So he moved to India, where he had a temple there where the people weren't allowed to read any newspapers, and they were unaware of the fact that Keith Ham was sent to prison more or less for pedophilia and ritual murder. And he lived there, and he just died last October 2011, and that's when I started to write this article, because he would often threaten to sue people who wrote anything bad about him. So I always wanted to write about him, but I had to wait till after he died. But it's quite tragic, because for all the kids that were molested and the families of the victims, Keith Ham died a free man with devotees worshiping him as God's representative on earth. And, you know, you just got to ask yourself, where's the justice in all of this, you know? He had many good final years with people worshiping him as a manifestation of God.
It really is amazing that these cult leaders, whether it be Jim Jones, whether it be the fellow there at Waco, David Koresh, or certainly Ham, these cult leaders get amazing loyalty from the people who follow them. And it's a story we see over and over and over again. But go right ahead.
Well, it's quite interesting. Now, I'd like to get into some of the brainwashing techniques that Keith Ham used. First of all, the Hare Krishna mantra, which these people chant and sing and play drums, it has a hypnotic and euphoric effect. I've talked to people who did it, and it's kind of an adrenaline high. It's similar to amphetamines or cocaine, I'm told. And, you know, you're just ramping up your system with adrenaline by dancing and doing this hypnotic chant. So it gets you, in fact, Prabhupada's motto was stay high forever. So he was promoting this as an alternative or substitute for drugs right from the beginning. And what Keith Ham would do with his followers, he would have them do the Hare Krishna chant in the temple in New Vrindavan. But what he had a screen right on top of the altar with the images of Krishna and his wife Radha. They are Hindu gods. He would flash messages like, it's okay to lie, cheat, and kill for Krishna. Only your guru, meaning Ham, can tell you what is right. It's, you know, he had this whole justification for cheating people out of money. And he's the one who sent the Hare Krishnas to the airports, and they became kind of a stereotype for being annoying. But he didn't do that for long, because no one would give these people money. Now, he got very vicious. What he did is he got the most attractive young women in the cult and called them together and separated them from their children. And what he did is he had them all set up in groups and go into vans, and they would dress in normal street clothes with makeup, and they were very pretty women, and he would have them go out and solicit funds under false pretenses, like they would claim to be collecting for the Muscular Dystrophy Association, Jerry's Kids, or they would say they were for Meals on Wheels. They would misrepresent themselves and collect funds for him. Now, what he also did is Ham started to print up sporting clothes like baseball caps and T-shirts, and he had these girls sell them at sporting events. You know, he was using trademarked materials, and these women bought in hundreds of thousands of dollars, even millions as time went on. Now, these women, they were treated horribly. They were given amphetamine drugs to keep them awake and alert so that they could collect as much money as possible. They were physically beaten by their handlers. They would send out one male member with them. If they didn't come back with a certain quota of money, they were beaten. They were also sexually abused, and they were constantly threatened that they wouldn't be allowed to see their children anymore. Some of these women, in order to meet their daily quota of money that they had to bring back at night, they started to sell their bodies. They entered into prostitution. As to avoid, you know, they were completely brainwashed prostitutes. Very sad.
Well, of course, unfortunately, there are people like this all over, hide behind a mantle of religion to further their own agenda. And obviously, Ham was not interested in religion at all. It was a power trip, and it was to accumulate a great deal of money, which he apparently did. Well, our guest is William Kennedy, writing about this cult. Most people have never heard of it, but we have all these sorts of cults. We've seen this story again and again in America. Lost people looking for meaning to life, but of course, finding it in the wrong places. Go right ahead, William.
Well, Dr. Stan, these women, it was quite sad when, even after collecting these millions of dollars, when they came back to New Vrindavan and were allowed to see their...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
We have Keith is actually calling us from West Virginia, who said he had met the Swami. Hi, Keith. Yeah.
Hi, Kent. Keith. No, this is Kent, Dr. Stan.
Okay, go ahead, Kent.
And, he had his temple was in Moundsville, but he owned a property in a little town called Littleton, West Virginia. It was an abandoned quarry, and They had to join my family owned property to join the quarry. And of course, I'm not from West Virginia originally. I'm from, an urban area, but I moved back here in the 90s and originally to Littleton. And he was a member of the community. He was around. He walked with a cane. He was badly beaten at one point, I guess, by somebody, and he was
a crazed follower bashed him on the head for not promoting him with an iron bar and put him in a coma for 10 days.
And I of course, being from an urban area, I one day walking down the street, there was a rather attractive young lady who wasn't from West Virginia. She was more of an urban sort of a girl. And she was just walking along in sort of an airy sort of fashion, so maybe she was drugged, as you said. And later on, I met a woman whose son was offered a ride by the Swami, and I guess the Swami tried to, proposition the son. And he, one time I had to, somebody was working for him, and I went in to find the person who was working for him. This was before all the stories came out about the Swami, but anyway, I went around to the quarry to find this guy, and he had a German Shepherd dog, a pair of German Shepherd dogs guarding him, and the dogs came up to either hand, and you could feel the breath on the back of your hand. Their teeth were literally about half an inch from the back of your hand. He was a very, very strange character, and I often wonder what happened to him, and I'm glad he's dead, but...
He died in India last October. He died of kidney failure. He was in his 70s, and he had been in poor health since that attack when he got bashed on the head. After he got attacked like that, he got, as you say, two German Shepherd attack dogs, who we learned that was better than a human bodyguard because they would attack the person before they actually got to hitting him.
Yeah.
So as I say, he died of kidney failure in October in India, last October 2011.
Okay, Kendall, I appreciate so much your calling. Is there anything else you want to say before we let you go? We've lost Kent, but anyway, that was certainly Kent calling from West Virginia, and he'd actually met the Swami before he went over to India, where he eventually died. The problem is that these people have a false religion. People are looking for reason for life, and we have so many lost people out here that are looking for a leader, and without realizing, of course, we don't need one of these men who's going to control us. What we need is a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and when you have that, why, of course, you have something to cling to, something to believe in, but certainly you want to avoid simply get involved with following men because they will exploit you, unfortunately. Oh, go ahead with him.
Well, yeah, it's just quite stunning. I've heard so many stories about Keith Ham, who they called the Swami. That was his title. And what's strange is his father was a Southern Baptist minister, as I said earlier, and his father taught him how to recruit people into the Baptist church. He was a born-again Christian. Originally Keith Ham, and he was very successful in his high school for bringing whole families into his father's fundamentalist church. So his roots were as good as you can get in this country, and he did very well. He graduated first in his class from Maryville College, magna cum laude, and went to the University of Chapel Hill, which he was thrown out of for molesting children. And then he wound up at Columbia University. He was working on a PhD. And then he met the Swami. Somewhere along the line, he lost touch with his relationship with Jesus Christ and became first, an LSD crazed hippie, and then went into this Hare Krishna movement. And it's really a terrible thing that he was a serial rapist of children who was an extremely intelligent man from a decent background.
Well, I think we have to understand that pedophilia is very, very common because the Sarkozy, I think it's his name, the assistant coach there at Penn State, but there is certainly a pedophile movement that began in Boys Town, went right into the White House. That's the story of the Franklin scandal or the Franklin cover-up. and there's so many others.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you have a chronic disease that has devastated your life? If you do, you should contact the Invita Clinics. Their therapies can reduce the devastating side effects of chronic fatigue, heart disease, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, and other persistent illnesses. Their experienced team is committed to setting a new standard in patient care. They're dedicated to bringing you the best of what's available in cutting-edge medical science. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Or better yet, investigate their website at Invita.com. That's Envita.com. Or 866-830-4576. Invita. At 866-830-4576, Invita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Certainly, the highest levels of the Catholic Church has been covering for pedophile priests for years. We have them working at our universities. That's what the story was back at Penn State. We have them working at the highest levels of our government. And that's what the story of the Franklin cover-up or the Franklin scandal. We carry the book, The Franklin Scandal, about this extensive pedophile network that began at Boys Town in Kansas and went right into the White House. We have pedophile networks associated with the Bohemian Grove. And the Bohemian Grove is where the leaders of this country go, certainly once a year, and certainly we're talking about the level people at the highest levels of our government. And we actually have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. People have actually been there and talk about the pedophilia, about the homosexuality, about the perversion, part and parcel of this. Now, basically, we have their writings. I don't think anybody else has ever gotten one of their books. We have one of their books. And on one of the opening pages, all it says is, "We revere the owl. We revere the owl." Now, what are they talking about? Well, of course, they have this statue of the owl there, the statue of Moloch, which is an emblem of Lucifer. If you haven't seen the DVD, which Alex Jones put together, on the Bohemian Grove, you need to get it. We carry that. That's the DVD on the Bohemian Grove. We have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. If you ask for it, we'll be glad to send you the pages from their publication. It's just one page, and it says, We revere the owl. And let me tell you that there at the Bohemian Grove, the leaders of our country, many of them are running around naked, and they're engaging in homosexuality and pedophilia. In fact, Richard Nixon, who attended it in the White House tapes, talked about he talked about a very derogatory a phrase he used, F-something-G, there at the Bohemian Grove. But he wanted to be there with the people who ran our country. What does this really mean? It means that we have a country that's turned its back on God. And basically, our leaders certainly may appear to be, you know, very pious men. They're not. They're corrupt down to the very core. What we need in America is a spiritual revival. And if this country does not turn back to God, then there are going to be serious consequences. We carry a wonderful book. It's called The Secret of the Lord. It's written by our good friend, Pastor Chuck Crismeyer. And what is it about? Well, it's about the fact that at one time in our churches, we taught people that they should fear the Lord. We don't teach that at our churches anymore, because the other side, the dark forces, have infiltrated the religious seminaries and simply remove that concept from the Christian faith. And yet, if there is no fear of the Lord, of course, we're going to have such a society where, like we have today, where half of our Christian marriages end in divorce, where 25% of our Protestant ministers are into pornography. And if you believe that God is going to continue to bless this country, I think that you're in for a very sad situation, because I believe God is going to bring his vengeance onto America in the very, very near future. I think our economy is going to collapse, but even more than that, we're going to be involved in a horrible and terrible war. Only I fear that this war we may well lose. Let's go to John, who's calling us from the great state of Washington. John, do you have a question or comment for us?
I got a question for William.
Go right ahead.
How are you defining a cult?
Now, that's a very difficult question, and I just want to say I have a bachelor's degree in religious studies and a master's degree in philosophy, and I studied closely with Jacob Needleman, who studied new religions. So I believe a cult is a destructive religious or ideological group who seek to control the entire lives of members and replace their values with values they normally would not hold. In other words, those women who joined Keith Ham's Hare Krishna movement were, you know, they wound up selling their bodies to get enough money to bring back to him. They were controlled by a leader who leads the followers down a path of destruction. Now, no one would deny that the Reverend Jim Jones down in Guyana, who had his entire group of 700 people drink Kool-Aid laced with poison, basically it was laced with Drano, and killed all his followers. No one would deny that Jim Jones ran a destructive religious group, which I feel comfortable calling it a cult. Other people in religious studies and theology do not. I disagree with them.
All right, John, does that answer your question?
Well, I mean, when you look at the dictionary definition of a cult...
No, are you talking about a cult or a cult?
No, no. Spelled C-U-L-T.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
The reason I've asked the question, I mean, like, Webster defines it, it comes from Latin cultus, which means care, and it's a system of religious worship. That's number one. Number two is devoted attachment to a person, principle, etc. And number three is a sect. And the reason I bring that up is because you could have, I mean, when you take a look at any of these things, you could have some people who are anti one viewpoint could say, well, that's a cult, and this is a cult. In my opinion, the way I think it's, this term cult became popular back in the 70s by anything that was a marginalized, there were so many of these different sects that were springing up all over the place, And to marginalize that group, they were called cults.
I see. No. So what is your point?
The Christian religion throughout the ages, when the Catholic Church was doing its thing and you weren't allowed to form your own views of God and your own personal relationship with Jesus, and it was enforced and you had this devotion and bow down, to me, that's a cult.
Oh, so you tell you that Christianity is a cult?
No, I didn't say Christianity is a cult. I consider Christianity, true Christianity, in terms of the principles taught by Jesus, is one thing. But I see that so many leaders of Christianity throughout the ages would fall into that category that William just described as
a cult. I agree with you. I wrote a book about it called Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Catholic Church. If you didn't realize it, you can read it for free at williamhkennedy.com. I'm not disputing you one single bit.
Okay, anything else, John? Because basically, of course, certainly there have been people who have tried to use religion for their own purposes and take people away from the Word of God, and you have to do what I say or else. You're absolutely right. Go ahead.
And I agree with you totally, and I'm a devoted listener of the show. I think there's a, whether it's the cult of Obama or whether it's the cult of even some of these TV evangelists, and I think that there's a frailty in humans, and they lack the ability to be able to observe and make up their own decisions. And one of the dictionary definitions, or the dictionary definition, at least in Webster's, of a free thinker is one who forms his religious ideas himself. And I think that the best Christians that I've known are ones that where it was not forced on them. They were allowed to develop those ideas on their own, and there was no fear. They really developed a personal relationship with God as opposed to one that was forced on them. And I think that's so important.
I think you're absolutely right, and certainly what we need to do is find people who we can really depend upon. But in the final analysis, our relationship with Jesus Christ is a personal one, not mediated through somebody else. Okay?
Okay.
Good point, and thank you so very much for calling.
Thank you very much.
Okay, our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but certainly there are people who would like to use Christianity to push their agenda, or whether you're pushing Buddhism or Hinduism, or certainly there was a cult up there. I think it was headed by Maharaji Yogi up in Oregon, and they had hundreds of members there.
The Rajneesh cult in Oregon.
Right, and so this is not unusual. But all of these people are looking for something, and since they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, why they're looking for something, and of course they get trapped. They get this camaraderie, they get looked after, they have security, they're told what to think. But each of us, of course, need a personal relationship with our Lord. That's what it's all about, not through the group, but a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, go right ahead with him. And if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, I thought I have a lot in this article that you can read for free at williamhkennedy.com, the Hare Krishna killings. I also look at the 10 other major leaders in the Hare Krishna movement who had the title Guru, and many of them were just as bad as Keith Ham. There was a guy, James Immo, and he started using LSD right in Hare Krishna temples. He was a leader, and he started to claim to be Jesus Christ. He thought he was not only a Hindu worshiper of Krishna, he thought he was an incarnation of Jesus Christ, because when he chanted Hare Krishna on LSD, he somehow got it in his head that he was the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened, one of his followers who took LSD as well began to stalk him, and he was expelled from the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He took a lot of followers with him, and one of his crazed followers, while he was high on LSD, thought he wasn't Jesus Christ, but considered James Immelt to be the Antichrist, and he hacked his head off. So, you know, this if this isn't a cult, I don't know what else to call it. Now, there's another fellow, Robert Campagnola, and he started having an affair with a married woman and got caught, and he fled the Hare Krishna movement and stole millions of dollars and disappeared. It just, the list goes on and on. There was a fellow, William Ehrlichman, one of these gurus, and he was sexually abusing women followers. He was not a pedophile, but he was a sexual abuser of other devotees' wives. He liked to have sex a lot. And he got caught in sexual activity. They caught him in the situation with a female follower and expelled him from the movement. But he, too, embezzled millions of dollars. But they caught up with William Ehrlichman, and he wound up in prison. He did some time in prison. Very strange. Now, there was another fellow, Charles Backus, who was one of these gurus, and he was accused of child abuse and caught in a homosexual act by his followers. He was expelled from ISKCON for a while, but they've taken him back, and he still enjoys being worshipped as an incarnation of God, more or less. Now, there are, there's a couple of others, too. Stephen Garino was one of these gurus, and he was caught having an affair with a married woman, but they didn't, for some reason, they decided not to throw him out. He's still a member of ISKCON, still worshipped as a guru. Now, there was a fellow, Robert Grant, another one of these Hare Krishna gurus. They're again caught fooling around with another man's wife and thrown out of the organization. He's trying to make a comeback. So the initial followers of Swami Prabhupada in New York in the late 60s, these first 10 disciples, they were corrupted by power over other people on the way, and most of them wound up sexually abusing followers. And one even wound up getting decapitated. So to people who are for religious liberty and for freedom of religion, I understand what you're saying, but we have the dilemma of horrible groups like this, like Jim Jones with the 700 followers who poisoned themselves in Guyana. We have the Heaven's Gate cult run by Applewhite. These are the people who killed themselves in 1996. Because they thought there was a UFO flying behind the Hale-Bopp comet that was going to land and take them to heaven. So what they did is they took a handful of sleeping pills and alcohol and committed suicide that night, thinking their souls were going to be collected by a flying saucer, which was tailing just behind the Hale-Bopp comet. Now, I just, as I say, I have academic degrees in religious studies and philosophy. I studied with Houston Smith. I studied with Jacob Needleman. I worked with all these major people who define what religion is. And one thing I somewhat disagree with these people is you have to define and point at specific groups like Jim Jones, like Keith Ham, like Applewhite, and try and intervene with these people, or you wind up with a Jonestown, or you wind up with a Heaven's Gate, or you wind up with a Hare Krishna sending people to kill the detractors, getting hitmen. So we face a great dilemma in that we have to respect people's legal rights, but we also have to protect people so they don't wind up in one of these cults, you know, with Jim Jones or Charles Manson or David Koresh, or any of these horrible sorts of things. So it's, I don't have a lot of easy answers, you know. The exit counselors who help people out of these groups, they're few and far between, and they're always afraid that they're going to get sued. These churches tend to sue detractors, like the Church of Scientology is very famous for that. If you say something against them, they will attack your character, they'll harass you, so This is a very, very hard thing. Now, Scientology is actually being outlawed in Germany. They're trying to do away with the whole religion. Now, religious freedom people are saying, you know, they're no better than the Nazis. You know, they're treating them like they treated the Jews. They're trying to eliminate them in their country by just making it illegal, not killing them, of course, but making it impossible for them to operate. So you always have this horrible dilemma of protecting people and allowing them to have their rights. There's no quick or easy answers.
So anyway, don't forget the Moonies, don't forget this, us, and the, oh, there's so many of them out here, that and they're so easy to fall into. Really, it shows basically that people do not have a personal relationship with our Lord. If they had it, they wouldn't be falling into these various alternative religions. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, I would like people to go to William H.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which goes into the background of the dozens of satanic cults of every aspect of our society. And then, of course, let me suggest that the book written by Pastor Chuck Crismier, it's entitled The Secret of the Lord. What is the secret of the Lord? Well, you need to get the book. But we recommend it. We've sold 25 or 30 of them. I think it's one of the most important books we carry at Sydney. Or you can get a copy of my interviews with Chuck Crismier, and they're available to Radio Liberty. But you must understand that the people who hate Christianity have infiltrated our seminaries, have infiltrated our churches, and they've changed the music and the message of our churches. And people don't want to hear the true message of Christianity today, and that's why we're in so much trouble. But we recommend The Secret of the Lord. It's an excellent book. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We hope maybe you'll want to get my talk on The Dark Secret and on The Forbidden Secret, and their syllabuses go with both of those. And then, of course, we do want to mention that we send these cell products. They help to keep us going. Do we maintain the 70 different outlets we have all across America? We've never tried the Miracle 2 soap products. We use them. We think they're great. And my wife would not be without the Miracle 2 gel, the Miracle 2 lotion. We use the soaps for so much of what we wash ourselves with. Those are Miracle 2 soap products, and we have a wonderful line of health products. The things that you need, whether you're a man, you need the prostate support. If you're a woman going through that difficult time, you need the menopause support. If you suddenly moving into the flu season, you need the immune support. You also need something called Alibiotic, a combination of oil of oregano and the garlic and elderberry. Oil of elderberries. We have all sorts of products. Most people are low on magnesium. We have a wonderful little book on magnesium. We offer magnesium, and these are all products we take. Selenium, curcumin. If you would like to get the list on the various health products we carry and lay in a supply, they're available. We carry the vitamin B12. We take it every day. Recent studies out of Harvard showed that if you are certainly over 65, you'll begin to get shrinkage of your brain. This is one reason why so many people are getting Alzheimer's disease. If you take either B12 shots or the sublingual B12, you do not get the shrinkage of your brain. Your brain continues working. The old-time doctors used to give everybody that came in the office a B12 shot, once a month. And then organized medicine, the FDA came in and did everything they could to discourage it. And we see an epidemic of Alzheimer's disease. You need to be, in my estimation, taking B12. You can take it from your doctor, or you can take it sublingually, as Barbara and I do. And it's something that is important. But there's so much you need to know about health. If you haven't read Russell Blaylock's wonderful book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, you really need to get it. We're having Russell Black on here in a couple of weeks. You'll certainly want to hear that program. And then, of course, we ask you to go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. We ask you to understand that there really are people out there, evil and wicked people, who are suppressing the truth about what you need for your health today. And if you need to get the information, because it's available to Radio Liberty, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you would like a list of the health products, the Miracle 2 products that we carry, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Cheryl Hancock. And it's tomorrow morning over in Jerusalem, and Cheryl's going to be with us in just a moment, but if we need to call her back, right, Ari, don't hesitate to get her telephone number, and we'll give her a call, but basically we're trying to get Cheryl on. Cheryl is is the KFER representative, our radio representative, Radio Liberty representative in Jerusalem, and she works there with the Jewish people, with the Palestinian people, and she's going to be doing a regular radio program with us the first Friday of every month. And she's going to get us, Cindy, appraised of what's really going on over in Israel. What you certainly is not hearing is that there's a new intifada taking place over there. The Palestinians are now certainly attacking the Israelis on a regular basis. They certainly, there are all sorts of problems in Israel itself. Of course, mainly our attention is being focused on the possibility of a war with Syria. But what's happening, I should say, the possibility of a war with Iran. But what's happening as far as Syria is concerned? What's happening as far as Israel and its relationship with Lebanon and the Hezbollah up there? What's happening as far as Israel and the Palestinians? What's happening to the economy there? And we're hoping, of course, we're going to be able to get Cheryl on here in just a minute. Apparently, we're having a trouble with bad connection. I hope that, I don't know, we're going to have to hang up or what we're going to have to do. Ari, can you tell me where we stand? We've got Cheryl on the line, and let's see how this works. Hi, Cheryl. How are we doing?
Hi. Good morning, Stan. Doing fine.
Okay, fine. Why don't you just bring our listeners up to date? What is going on over there? We talked a little earlier today. You said there's an increased tempo of violence between the Palestinians and the Israelis. What's really happening over there in Jerusalem where you live?
Yeah, for the past couple of weeks, maybe even longer, it seems that the uprising has risen, and some people are calling this the Third Intifada, and there are Molotov cocktails being thrown at checkpoints, at patrols, at people. Rocks are being thrown at cars. Actually, there's carjacks going on. One lady was drug out of her car, and that's not just the only isolated case. There's a lot of cases like this. Everywhere you go, it seems that there are uprisings. Even on the Mount of Olives, where the Jewish cemetery is, congressmen from America were visiting last week, and they took a bus up there to have a talk with the press, and all of a sudden the rocks started flying and hitting them, so they jumped back on the bus. But they saw firsthand that everywhere you go here, nothing seems to be too safe as far as the uprising is hitting everywhere in Israel.
Well, no, we are not hearing about this. I haven't read anything at all in the press here in the United States about that. How long has this been going on?
Well, definitely for a couple weeks. It's probably longer than that, but it started slowly, and now there's news, let's say, on the Temple Mount that in the Bethlehem News, they're saying that the Jews want to build on the Temple Mount. Well, even rumors or even little reports will cause riots. So on the Temple Mount, there was fighting, and police had to storm the Temple Mount last week and try to calm things down, and people got hurt. Soldiers got hurt. Wounded, people got hurt, the Palestinians got hurt, and tourists were on top of the Temple Mount.
Well, I think we're going to begin to see the breakdown of the structure of society in Jerusalem throughout the world. Well, Cheryl, what's happening as far as the relationship with Syria? Certainly, Syria is in the middle of a civil war over there. Is this having an impact in Israel? How do the Israeli people feel about the civil war taking place in Syria today?
Well, they're concerned, of course, because we don't know what the outcome is going to be at this point. On the Golan Heights, Syria, of course, is a neighbor of Israel. And it seems that a few weeks ago that troops were moving closer to the border of Israel. And there were only a couple reports about this, and then it kind of disappeared out of the news. But things are happening on top of the Golan Heights. There are some people who are Alawite, which is what Assad is. He's an offshoot of Islam, like a Druze, but it's called Alawite. And there's a village that's Alawite in Israel proper. Half of it's in Israel proper. Those people are from Syria, and during the 67 war, they were put into Israel. And we're going to have a press conference up there to talk to the Druze, because they're afraid people are sneaking through the fence, you know, the people trying to get away from the bombings and from the government, Assad, and coming through the fence and coming into Israel. And that is happening. And Israel has just heightened alert on the border, trying to keep the people from coming into Israel. They are trying to get out of their country. So we're just waiting and seeing what's going to happen here.
Well, I think that most people really don't understand the topography over there. Basically, you have the Sea of Galilee. And then, of course, right behind the Sea of Galilee, directly east of that, you have the Golan Heights. It's just a low mountain range. And you go to the top of that mountain range, and you look eastward, and you can actually see Damascus from there. So basically, everything's very, very close in Sydney. Then, of course, there's this Druze village up there on the top of the mountain. Is that it?
Yes, there's a few Druze villages there on the border, and also the Alawite village. I was at the top of Mount Hermon one time, and there's a ski lift up there. And if you go to the top of the ski lift, you see Israeli soldiers with guns and trying to keep you from going too far up. And I asked why, and I snuck around the corner because I wasn't told, and then I saw a Syrian outpost. So you can see Syrian outposts from the other side of the Golan. And if they really take over that Golan, this is why Israel's tried to hold on to the Golan, they could shoot at the people at the Sea of Galilee. Very, very sensitive spot.
All right. Of course, one of the interesting things is the fact that there's a tremendous amount of snow. It's snowing in Jerusalem, quite unusual, but there's tremendous amount of snow up on the top of the Mount Hermon. And, of course, one of the problems they've had is that there's been a drought in Israel for a number of years. The level of the Sea of Galilee has fallen and fallen dramatically, but it looks like it's beginning to fill up. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Cheryl simply saying that the Syrian troops are moving closer to the Israeli border. There are a lot of people over in Syria who are really trying to get away from the violence over there. Have any of the Syrians actually come into Israel to get away from the violence, or are they letting them come in?
Well, Israel's trying not to let them come in. That's why they increased security. But it's possible that some have come in. When this all began, there were riots on there were demonstrations on the border, and the people in the Druze villages, there were holes in the fence, so obviously some probably did get through, but they try to keep that kind of quiet over here, and now it's beefed up because they found out what was going on.
And I think people here in America don't really understand there's a civil war going on in Syria. The people there are certainly, their lives are in danger, their homes are being destroyed. Apparently they're in Homs, H-O-M-S, in a Syrian city, while the government forces are bombing that area and shelling that area. And an awful lot of Syrian civilians are being killed. They're trying to get away. They'd love to come into Israel, but Israel cannot afford to let large numbers of refugees into their country. So basically, of course, there's a great deal of instability in that area. Now, how do the Israeli people feeling about the possibility of a war with Iran? Would they support a war with Iran? Would they like America to attack? Do they really believe what we are being told, and that is that Iran is threatening Israel, that Iran will wipe Israel off the face of the earth if it has the opportunity? Or do they realize this is just all propaganda, to justify a war which apparently the leaders of Israel and the leaders of the United States are intent upon getting us involved in, especially this year with an election coming up, because wars are good for elections, and certainly if you are the President of the United States and you have a war going, chances are you'll be reelected. But how do the people over there in Israel feel about the possibility of a war or the probability of a war with Iran?
Well, the people believe that what Ahmed Dinajad is saying, that he wants to wipe Israel into the sea, they believe him. Last time someone said they wanted to wipe out Israel, which was Hitler, he was working on it. So they don't take any chances. They believe that this is what Iran wants to do. They said it long enough. And they say, actually, they want a world without the United States and without Israel. They want to have control in the Middle East. And so Israel is trying to tell the United States, this is not an isolated problem. Iran is not going to wipe out Israel and say, okay, now let's all have peace in the world. It's not going to work that way. What they want to do is take control of the Middle East, and they want to control the oil, then the Persian Gulf oil producers, so that they can choke the global economy. They want to raise the oil prices and have control. They actually want to take control of Saudi Arabia at the same time. They are Shiite Muslims over there, and they want to stop the Sunnis. So there are fights between the Shiites and the Sunnis now, the two groups of Muslims, and they want control. Iran wants control. So Israel knows these things. Even kids, high school kids, grade school kids know these things. And it's amazing that America doesn't understand at this point that it's not just Israel. So Israel is waiting for the talk from the United States president, which actually happened overnight, that the United States will not let Iran go nuclear, because Israel otherwise would have to take care of the problem, though it's not just an Israeli problem. It's a worldwide problem.
Well, now, are you suggesting that President Obama has committed that we will not let Iran go nuclear, that somehow Israel's been given a guarantee the U.S. will intervene?
Yeah, last night, I guess there were talks, and some of the Israeli leaders are over there. Netanyahu will be over there. And there was a meeting, and Obama said that he would not let Iran go nuclear, which is what Israel wants to hear. And then on the other hand, Israel said Obama's one of the best administrations for Israel. And we know that there's some kind of deal going on here. Now, a lot of the Jewish people believe that Obama's saying these things because they want he wants the Jewish vote. And once he gets that Jewish vote, he doesn't need their vote again because he can't be president again. So they're afraid that once he gets the vote, he's going to go back on all his word, and he's not going to stand with Israel.
All right, fine. So now, how is the economy over there doing? And certainly we hear a lot of talk, certainly, about the eviction of the settlers from their homes. And certainly they're even talking about simply wiping out a lot of the homes there in Judea and Samaria, and that there's a lot of unrest among the settlers there, the people who live in those regions, because of the government policy of forcing them out of their homes and destroying them. What's the background of that?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that believe that Israel is the land that God had given them, as they believe the Bible, and they have built homes in different places. Some are fairly new, where they put caravans or trailers on these this property, and Israel is trying to appease the Western world, especially the United States, and trying to take down some of the newer ones. Now, they have sworn, where I live, as a matter of fact, there's 35,000 Jewish people. They call it a settlement. It's actually no man's land. It's on the way down to the Dead Sea. And the Palestinians now said, the Palestinian leadership said, they want this area, 35,000 people. We have a municipality. We have a mall. We have everything. It's a little city. And Ariel. And Israel said they are not going to give in to that. So they're trying to take down the little places so they don't have to give up the bigger places. But Israel has done this throughout the years. They have given land for peace and never have gotten that. Now, the Palestinians said that they will not go to the negotiation table without a few stipulations. So they're trying to negotiate without sitting at the table. And one of them is that Israel will not build in Israel proper or in the West Bank. And even in Jerusalem, they don't want Israel building. But at the same time, the Palestinians are building. There are buildings going up. Every time I drive down the street coming over to my house, I see new buildings coming up. People are not living in them. They're just, that's the way they claim the land. So they are allowed to build. And Netanyahu stopped building for 10 months in Israel, and nothing happened. There was no peace. There was no negotiation. So he said, okay, let's build again. Now that we're building again, now we're being told to stop again and for to get them to the negotiation table. Negotiations means you sit down and you discuss. You don't make demands before you sit down. So this is a problem with the negotiations. Israel wants to negotiate. The Palestinians want their terms before they negotiate.
Well, now, does this have anything to do with the new Intifada that you were talking about?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, it has, because now it's almost like a fight over the land. Who's going to take what land in Jerusalem? You see Jews starting to build in different places, and they actually, some of the Jews own places in East Jerusalem, which is, they call, the media calls it Arab East Jerusalem, which is not correct. It is Israel proper, just like Los Angeles, even if it's East Los Angeles, it's still America. And so Jews have owned that land, and now they're building on it, and it's beginning to start some controversy. Israel is talking about plans of building some major visitor centers in Jerusalem and taking down some of the Arab housing, some that is illegally built, and some they have offered to pay the Arabs to move as they build this, and they could use the money. But yesterday there was fighting in Abu Tur, which is the village next to the old city, which is part of Jerusalem. And so there was a lot of rioting, rocks flying, and people getting hurt yesterday. So, yes, it's overland grab is one of it. And over some of the things that are coming out in the media, that's not correct.
All right. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Cheryl. Cheryl lives in Jerusalem itself, and she's over there working with the Jewish people. She's over there working with the Palestinian people. If you'd like to talk to her, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, basically, how are things going over there for the Jewish people? Is the economy good? Is there a lot of uncertainty? Do we have a feeling of peace and security? Or with this new Intifada, are people really getting very, very concerned? And are they concerned that the violence that we're seeing over in Syria may very soon spread to Israel itself?
Well, actually, just last night a report came out that Israel is one of the lowest jobless rates in the whole world. Only 5% of the people are jobless. So the economy is very good. Actually, prices are very high over here. They were going to hire the gasoline to $8 a gallon or over $8 a gallon, and Netanyahu brought it down again. Israel is really a high-tech state also, and they're exporting, they're inventing things. I mean, it's amazing, this economy, how it grew in 60 years. It's amazing. But at the same time, yes, the problems around it, people are really not sure how the lines are going to be drawn. If there's going to be a Palestinian state, and if there is, will they lose their homes? Where is the line going to be? So a lot of uncertainty right now in Israel.
Well, basically, certainly the antagonism between the Israelis and the Palestinians, it's one of those situations where you wonder if it will ever be solved until the Lord comes again. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've kind of taken a survey here with all people groups, and most of the outcome was there's not going to be any peace until the Prince of Peace arrives, until the Messiah arrives. And it's true, because the fighting, here we are talking about negotiating and going to the tables and giving a Palestinian state. And Israel is really trying to have peace, because a lot of the people are Westerners that have made Aliyah or immigration to Israel, and they want to live like they lived in the West, have their, you know, children grow up to be doctors, lawyers, or whatever, and just have freedom. But that's not happening, because it's being stopped at the negotiation table, not before they get to the negotiation table to have peace. And whenever there's a problem that the Palestinians don't agree with, you see an uprising, which is what's going on now.
All right. Well, let's go to John, who's calling us from Maryland. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, John. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I've considered going to Israel. I'd like to go as a tourist. And I guess I've kind of played around with the idea in my mind of maybe living there. I'm not Jewish.
Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So you're a Christian who'd like to, of course, to support this nation. Hang on here. We'll be back in just a moment with John from Maryland. Well, John, go right ahead. Just tell me.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's propax.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
But he has his heart is for Israel, and he was thinking of going over there and was asking Cheryl what it was like. And because Cheryl said there are a number of things that he could do, there are organizations over there that Christian organizations which are there to help the Jews and even to help the military, not certainly fighting, but certainly supporting the military, ambulance, things of that sort. But there's also a group of Orthodox Jews who are doing everything they can to keep Christians from actually moving to Israel, because of course they feel that every Christian coming there is going to be a missionary, trying of course to convert the Jews to Christianity. Cheryl, are a lot of Jews today turning to Christianity?
There are some, yes. There are some that are turning to Christianity. They are, many of them are very open in talking and debating. They've been doing that for thousands of years, and they continue doing that. I have many, many Jewish friends that we can talk openly, and it's great. So, yes, some are converting, and this is what that extreme group does not want to happen. So that's why they're keeping the Christian population down. But on the other hand, if you look at the Muslim population that are Israeli Arabs, and we're talking about Israelis with blue identification cards again, these people are coming to the Lord like crazy. They're becoming believers, Christians, and when they do that, they don't want to fight against the Jewish people because they're taught to love all people just as the Bible teaches, and it's wonderful to see the change in their heart, and then they talk to other people, and it's just amazing. It's like these apple trees are ripe, and they're ready to hope and believe in something else other than what they believed in all their lives. And they're coming to the Lord.
I think, John, that the Palestinians are looking for something. Everything is being done to discourage the Jews from, of course, everything's being done. If you're a Palestinian and you become a Christian, you're risking your life. If you are a Muslim converting to Christianity, and yet the Jewish people converting to Christianity, some are, but it's certainly not anywhere near as many as the Palestinians. Sean, anything else you'd like to ask Cheryl?
What resources or how would I go about doing what I'd like to do as far as maybe volunteering? I did like that idea. I mean, I guess, you know, if I'm not Jewish, I may not be able to do that, but I would like to at least go there as a tourist. I mean, they don't stop non-Jewish, you know, Christians from visiting there, do they?
No, not at all. They encourage tourism. They have a big drive for tourism right now. When you come into the country, you get a visa for 3 months. So you have 3 months to work with, and you can do many things in that time. You can also get a hold of organizations before you come. SAREL is the volunteer organization for the Army. You can email me, and I can give you other organizations that might be able to help, depending on what you're interested in. But, yes, every Christian can come to Israel. They encourage that. And you come for 3 months or 2 weeks or however much time that you have. And then some Christians go out and come right back in, and go out and come right back in because they love it so much.
Cheryl, why don't you get your telephone up by your email out there?
Okay, my email address is reporting from Israel.
Reporting from Israel, that's one word.
At gmail.com.
Reporting from Israel at gmail.com. Get that, John?
Reporting from Israel at Gmail.
Gmail, right. And if you have problems, you can always call us, and we'll get to put you in touch with Cheryl. But she's over there, and how long have you been there? About 12 years now?
Going on 13 years, yeah.
All right.
Long time. I thought I'd be here 2 years, but, you know, you just get attached.
And so she's the Radio Liberty representative, KFAR representative over there, keeping us abreast, and she'll be with us the first Friday of every month, or first Thursday of every month. Okay? Anything else, John?
That's it. Thank you very much. I appreciate you talking to me.
All right, fine.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing from you, John.
I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you very much. I will.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to know what's really going on over there, and Sydney, it's an amazing country. Oh, my wife and I have been there six different times. We love it. Haven't been there probably in 10 years because it's pretty hard to get away but when you're doing 5 hours of talk radio a day. But it is a wonderful experience. There's so much history there and in the surrounding area. And to really understand Christianity, you want to walk where Jesus walked. And some of the areas are still there that where his footsteps were. We'll be back in a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a through the prairie, through the ocean.
that is. Don't be late.
No. Wipe with foam. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop? Right, son.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Cheryl Hancock, and she is certainly living over there in Jerusalem, been there for 12, going on 13 years. And if you have a question for Cheryl, why, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Cheryl, would you like to get your telephone number, your email out, if people would like to help you maintain yourself as you're over there working with the Palestinian people, and of course the only solution to the antagonism between the Palestinian and the Jews is to change the hearts of the Palestinian people. So how could people get in touch with you if they'd like to? And they perhaps help your ministry, as we do. I should comment that we do help Cheryl. We think she does a wonderful job. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do a lot of humanitarian aid to people here because they want hope and they want help. And when they reach for the Lord, it just changes their whole life. And it helps Israel, too, because they are not enemies to Israel anymore, Palestinian people. I help the Jewish people, the poor people here also, and make Aliyah or immigration here. But my email address, the best way to get a hold of me is sending an email at reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. That's reportingfromisrael@gmail.com.
Well, now, are there very many people from other countries, Jewish people from other countries, coming to Israel to live, coming there to join, you know, in this country? Are you losing more people or gaining more people?
Well, actually, Israel is gaining people, which is ironic because, you know, with the situation in Israel and the with the future not known, people are coming actually from the West now. In the past, it's been the North, the South, the East, but the Lord says that He's also going to bring the people from the West, and that's happening from Canada, England, Europe, and America. And for Americans to come where it's not so easy to live, it's between a European country and America, that type of thing, and they've been coming here to help Israel, to stand with Israel, and they really feel, the Jewish people feel, they need to stand together in these hard and maybe last days, and that's what they're doing. So it's very encouraging for the people that are already here.
I know one of our friends is one of our producers, and he has friends, or maybe even relatives who, you know, are fairly well-to-do, I shouldn't say well-to-do, but certainly Jewish people who had a good job, and they've just picked up and moved over to Israel because they have that feeling. They want to be part of Israel at this time in history. And I say that it takes a lot of courage to do that sort of thing, but you have to really believe in the righteousness of Israel. Now, somebody just called in from Washington. They want to know what the Jewish people over there in Israel think of Congressman Ron Paul. Do they even know who he is or what he stands for? So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464 if you have a question. But is there any discussion of Ron Paul over there, who is one of the Republican presidential candidates?
You know, with many of the Israelis that I talk to, it really they really don't talk much about him. They are talking more about Obama and not wanting him to be in office. I guess 72 to 80% of the Jews supported Obama, and I'm talking about Jewish people who live here who have dual citizenship and are allowed to vote, and people that live in America, and now only 42% are supporting Obama. They're looking at more of a Republican, even though most of the Jews vote Democratic. They're looking at Santorum and Romney, if not Santorum. And I personally have met Santorum. I've been in his office, and we talked about Israel, so I know where he stands on Israel, and I'm impressed. But I'm not going to give my view of the voting. I'm just hoping that whoever comes into office will be good for Israel. And so the Jewish people are looking at who's going to be best for Israel and stand with Israel, not make promises and go back on them, but really care for Israel and stand beside it, because it's going to be hard times coming ahead.
I think so as well, because many of the Jewish people, most of the Jewish people I know here in the United States, do not like Ron Paul because they've been told he's anti-Israel, which he is not. And I know people who know him. He's always supported Israel, but he wants to take the foreign aid away from $3 billion a year away from Israel, but he wants to take the $12 billion away that we give to Israel's enemies. He wants to stop foreign aid. And, of course, basically that $3 billion we give Israel is used as a lever to force Israel to do a lot of things that are not good for it. What I would simply point out from my point of view is that Netanyahu was, for at least a year or two, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was placed into the position where he is. It is my opinion that he is carrying out the policies dictated from Washington, D.C., which, through the money that we give them, controls the Israeli government, contrary to what most people think. And, of course, we're leading into Israel into a very, very difficult position. My personal belief is that Ron Paul is the only one of the candidates who opposes a war with Iran. And if there is a war with Iran, there will be terrible consequences for Israel. And there will be a massive missile attack on Israel, which would devastate the country if the Lord doesn't intervene. So I keep telling my Jewish friends, look, if you support Israel, support Ron Paul, but it's in the end, I think some of them will, a few of them will, but most today really don't understand. They know what their leaders tell them, and they're going to be here in the United States, are going to be opposing Ron Paul, and they're going to be supporting probably Santorum because of what he says. And yet, of course, I believe if we have a war with Iran, they're going to be terrible, terrible things happen over there as far as Israel's concerned. Yeah. Be that as it may, we're not one to get into discussion on politics. That's not what Cheryl should be doing. As a guest in that country, she can't express her feelings. She simply is there to help and to keep us abreast of what's going on. If you have a question for Cheryl, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I think it is really amazing that more and more Jewish people are moving to Israel, which of course is so difficult to understand because Israel certainly is on the verge of a major conflict. But these people are so loyal and so dedicated to Israel that they're willing to risk their lives to be over there at this time in history. So let's go to Barbara, calling from, I think this is probably Barbara from Aptos. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Barbara, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I have a couple of questions for Cheryl. Cheryl, how is the tourist industry going over there now?
Actually, it is soaring. It's probably higher than it's ever been because they are having a push on tourism. The Ministry of Tourism is just opening up kinds of new sites. They're offering many more things for the tourists. But tourists, when they come, they want to come see the Holy Land. They want to walk where Jesus walked. Many of them are Christians, or the Jewish people want to come to their land. And, you know, the tour guides, the agencies, and the bus drivers want to be safe also and keep the people safe. And the Palestinians don't want to hurt the tourists. The Jews don't want to hurt the tourists. No one wants to hurt a tourist because they know that they're bringing money into the country, which is going to help their economy. So tourism is just on the growth. It's unbelievable. It's wonderful.
Oh, that's great. I mean, when we were there, we found out, too, that the same thing with the tour guides and the bus drivers. Everybody was so you know, they wanted to take care of you, and yeah. and protect you. Can people still go to places like Bethlehem and areas like this? It's like they used to.
Yeah. I just had a group visiting from Canada yesterday, and I spoke to their group at the hotel and just educated them on what's happening here. But they had just come back from Bethlehem. So, yes, and even the Jewish tour guide went in. So they're allowing the Jewish tour guides to go into the area. So things have loosened up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And people are getting to go everywhere. Some are going into Jericho, which is also a Palestinian area, and going to the old walls that came tumbling down. They're still there. You know, the ruins are still there. So there's so much to see here. And people are excited to come.
Oh, that's great. I'm just so glad to hear that because they need that, you know, the people coming in there.
Yeah.
One other thing, because somebody was saying to me too that the other day that Jerusalem is just, you know, people are just, everybody is so being built up that it's just overflowing with people.
It's absolutely overflowing with people. It's one of the busiest cities I've ever lived in. But it's very exciting. You go by the old city and you see the old gates and the East Gate, the Golden Gate, we call it. I mean, you can hardly get through there with all the people and all the excitement. It's one of the most exciting places in the world. So much is going on, all the way to the Temple Mount. It's unbelievable. I would encourage people to come to Israel. And if you've never been, you should come at least once, because they call it the fifth gospel. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you come here, and the Bible just opens up to you. I would never, I love living here. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. This place is so exciting. So, yes, I would encourage people, please come. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're missing out if you don't.
With the opportunity, I would be there with you. It was interesting, somebody mentioned the other day, they were talking about the fact that before they went to Israel, they used to read the Bible in black and white, and now they read it in Technicolor.
Wow, now that's a good description.
It really
and
is.
I
that's
think
a nice
that
way of putting
is,
it.
You know, and it's true. It is true.
Yeah.
You read the Bible, and you see where you've been, and it is just awesome. And now is the time, if you're going to go, I would encourage people to do the same thing.
And, you know, Cindy, Cheryl was talking about the Golden Gate. Now, most people, they don't know what the Golden Gate is, but basically this was the original gate that actually went into the temple. And Jesus said the gates will be closed until he returns. And, of course, the walls eventually were torn down. And then I think that the walls were rebuilt about sometime in the 1600s by one of the Turkish rulers. But they built these gates just where the original golden gates had been. This was the entrance to the temple, but they're closed. And, of course, they have not been open since the 1600s, and it is believed that they will not open until the Lord returns. But the gates are there. You can see them. But, they, of course, they're kept closed. They always are closed, and I think they probably will be closed until our Lord returns. Anything else, Barbara?
One other question is, Cheryl, how is the water situation over there right now?
Well, we were in a semi-drought for many years until this year. It has been raining, and today we got a report that there's snow in places of Jerusalem. I've never seen so much water in Israel in the past 12 years I've been here. So the Kinneret has come up. The Kinneret is the Sea of Galilee, and it's come up. That's one of the main drinking sources. Water is flowing. I drove down to the Mediterranean yesterday, and I had to be careful of the rivers coming over the street. So, yes, Israel is very happy. People are excited that, yes, things are looking very good as far as water now.
Yeah, I was hearing that there's a lot of snow up on Mount Hermon. But the water that comes down the Jordan, it's still being drawn off by the people
in
Jordan, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And so Israel has to be very careful because they're talking about the Palestinians want Israel to give up the Jordan Valley. If they do that, they could cut off the water because the Jordan River runs through the Jordan Valley.
Right.
So Israel has to be very careful of what they give up because it's strategic. It's not just a matter of giving land and having peace, which never worked before in the past, but still, they have to be very careful. Water, you have to have water to live.
Oh, I know. And the last time we were there, I mean, it was just, everything was, I mean, it was just, they were growing so many things that they had never done, you know, for so many years. And it was just wonderful to see it, you know, thriving. And
the prophecies have been being fulfilled here in Israel. As Dr. Stan mentioned, the Golden Gate is closed, and that's a fulfillment of prophecy until the Messiah comes back. You can see that in front of your eyes. You can see the desert blooming and the waters coming in, and the Jewish people have really blossomed this land. The people are coming in from all areas. As the Bible says, that God will bring them from north, south, east, and west. The prophecies are just amazing because you get to sit here on the front line and watch the Bible come to pass. It's so exciting. Yeah.
That's great. God bless you, Cheryl, for being over there and doing what you're doing.
And for keeping us abreast of what's going on. God bless. And Cheryl, somebody just called in.
Well, I said, how can people donate to your ministry to help you?
I do have an address in California, but again, if someone sends me an email address, I can give them all that information.
All right, fine.
Yeah, I could give the P.O. box over the radio if you want.
Go ahead. Don't be bashful. Cheryl has never asked for money, but the people have supported her, and she has to have support, and so she then provides all sorts of help and aid for the Palestinian and for the Jewish people over there who do need help. So basically, go ahead and put your address out there.
Yeah, it would be for Love Without Borders, and the P.O. box is P.O. box 1084. In Arroyo Grande, which is A-R-R-O-Y-O, second word, Grande, G-R-A-N-D-E, California, zip code is 93421. And that will get to someone who takes care of things on that end for me, since I'm in Israel most of the time.
Put the address out one more time.
Okay, Love Without Borders.
Love Without Borders.
P.O. Box, Post 1084. Post Office Box 1084, Arroyo Grande, two words, A-R-R-O-Y-O, Grande, G-R-A-N-D-E, California, zip code 93421.
All right, fine. Let's go to Herman, who's calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, thanks for being in Israel, Cheryl. We always enjoy your interviews.
Herman.
There's a wonderful article on Sid Roth's website called The Bible Doesn't Really Say Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem by Lonnie Lane and Orna Greenman. And they go into Psalm 122, verse 6, which is translated pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but it actually doesn't say that in the original Hebrew. It says, who will ask how you are? And basically she goes into a multi-page thing explaining that we, in order to love someone, you have to know how they are doing. And a lot of Americans know about, the Oslo Accords, the crisis with Iran and Gaza and so forth, but they really don't have a love for the people of Israel or the Palestinians there. And what we ought to be praying for is that righteousness would return to that country, as well as taking care of the poor and those who are less fortunate. And then the borders will be taken care of by God. And it's a wonderful article. You go to sidroth.org, look it up. It will change your life if you read that article.
All right, Herman, thank you so very much. I appreciate
okay.
that.
God bless your work
right,
there.
Right. Okay, fine.
Thank
okay,
you.
So our guest is Cheryl Hancock, and we're talking about what's really going on over in Israel today. Hang on, we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, we've got George calling from Ohio. George, you have a question or comment?
In fact, I got to...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look.
Facebook, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands.
Well, we get into some problems, but it'll be the first Friday of every month. She's going to be our guest at 7 o'clock in the morning, and she's good enough to get up early to be with us. And Cheryl is the official reporter for Radio Liberty. That's one of the few things that we have that's unique. We have our own reporter over in Israel, and she'll keep us abreast of what's going on. And so we hope you'll be listening on a regular basis the first Friday of every month. Well, this is the time when I need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to help, give us a call. And our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We want to stress again, we have a wonderful book by our friend Chuck Crismeyer. It's called The Secret of the Lord. The Secret of the Lord. And you have to understand that they've changed the music and the message of the Christian church. And the dark spiritual forces which control the world have changed the message of Christianity. And you'll certainly want to read this book through several times. I have read it, and I am very impressed, or I certainly would not be stressing it. The Secret of the Lord by Chuck Crismeyer. You get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. And if you would like to get the interviews with Chuck Crismeyer, my CDs and my interviews, the tapes of my interviews, let me recommend them to you. I think they're important. He does such a good job of presenting his position. Then, of course, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to understand there is an ancient plan that is being carried out today. Let me repeat that. There is an ancient plan that is being carried out today. In fact, if you read George W. Bush's second inaugural address, he talks about when our founders declared a new order of the ages. They were acting on an ancient plan that is meant to be fulfilled. Now, he puts in a lot of hyperbole, but that's what he says. What is the ancient plan? Well, of course, it's described on the back of the dollar bill in the words of Novus Odorus Seclorum. And everything going on today has to do with the establishment of the Novus Odorus Seclorum, the one world government. And so let me suggest you get my talk on the dark secret, on the forbidden secret, get the syllabus that goes with that. And then we have a wonderful DVD. It's called The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. We have a second one. It's on the secret architecture of our nation's capital. And we carry the book by that same title. You need to get this information to understand what's going on in Israel, to understand what's going on in America, to understand what's going on in the world today. And there really is, of course, this plan. It's being worked out, and it is the blueprint. It's the template for everything taking place. So then, of course, we hope you'll certainly want to get us by a talk on the world revolution. You'll see my interview with Ambassador Smith. He'll tell you how we brought intentionally and purposely Fidel Castro to power in Cuba. He didn't win the revolution. If you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll find that we brought certainly the communists to power in China. They didn't win the revolution. Nothing is, it appears to be. Everything is illusion and delusion. We ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and John Loeffler and Chuck Chris Meyer and Butch Paul. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.